master commended the unjust steward in that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world in relationship to their own generation are more prudent than the children of light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In the gospel, the man who basically was stealing from his master, giving away half of one, 100 cores of wheat, giving away 50 of them, and then 20 of the oil. He is commended because he is wise in his own generation. One might call him a sharp businessman. This is praised not because the gospel is telling us to go out and be sharp businessmen, but rather that he's telling us to be prudent. And what does prudent mean? We have been speaking about faith, hope, and charity, the theological virtues. And we spoke of the moral virtues, which are the fruit of those theological virtues. The theological virtues apply toward God. The moral virtues apply towards our neighbor. This is the first of the moral virtues, prudence. The second is justice, then temperance, and finally fortitude. These are applied towards our neighbor. Prudence is the capacity of the intellect to apprehend the good things of eternity as means to our salvation. We see what is before us as a means to get to heaven. Here he is praised for his earthly prudence, which is the means which he needs to get along in this world. So he is praised according to his generation because he is living. He's living according to the world, and he will die according to the world. But we, in our generation, as children of light, as we see in the epistle, we are children of God the Father. Therefore, our prudence is not to be that of the world. It is to be that of the prudence of heaven. What are the means that God have given us so that we might enter into eternal life? For many of us know our faith, but knowing your faith doesn't mean you're going to apply it. It just means you know something. Many people, even in this world, as caring for themselves, know the means to care for themselves, but they won't take the step. That is to say, they won't even be prudent in their own worldly generation. Christ the King is in a very difficult neighborhood. And so whenever I'm there, inevitably, every second or third time I'm there, someone comes knocking. Help me, Father, help me. That probably happens to every parish. I think I'm just more graced that way. And so I'll ask him, oh, you want me to pay your heat bill? So let me come visit your house. And I walk in. And they have a big flat screen TV. Usually it's somewhere in the area of 35, 42, 60 inches. Yes. And guess what? They have cable. And so I say to them, so, you don't have money for your heat bill. Tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You give me your TV, and I'll hold on to that for you, and I'll pay the heat bill. You cut your cable off, and we'll let you have your heat in a couple of months because you don't have the cable. You'll be just fine. Oh, we can't do that, Father. Oh, you can't do that. Well, I can't give you the money that belongs to the poor either, because that's not a symbol of the poor. You want to see poverty? I was flying back from Africa, and one of the ladies said, "Father, you were in Durban and you were in Pretoria. You have not seen Africa. Come back with me to Zimbabwe. I will show you poverty." They don't know what poverty is. They haven't got a clue what poverty is, nor do they know what prudence is, worldly prudence or supernatural prudence. Worldly prudence says, I am ready to reach my ultimate end and caring for myself. I will turn off my cable. I will pay my bills. I even keep a bag of cell phones. Nice AT&T cell phones. Someone gave me about 20 of them. They all work. So if someone says, I need to pay my bill, and I look and they've got this wonderful big screen, internet ready cell phone. So I said, tell me what, give me that and you can have this, and now you'll be able to pay your bills. I'll buy it off of you. No, I can't do that. Okay. Go your way. They will not use prudence. We as Catholics must be prudent. We must use our intellect to apprehend what is good in the supernatural order, and then take the steps to employ ourselves in that supernatural order, because that is our final end. We must be like the snake. Doesn't the scripture say that? Be wise as a snake. Why does it say that? Doesn't mean we ought to be crawling around the belly, by the way. Wise as a snake means that the snake is led by the head. The head goes forward like this. A young boy told me that he's seen a snake go backwards. I've never seen that. Forward. You lead by your intellect towards your goal. The head always gets there first with the snake. Oh yeah, he might step back for a second before he goes forward. But he leads by the head. We are supposed to be wise. Use your head and go forward. We very often will allow our body, I love ice cream. There's an ice cream store, we must stop. Yes, but you have to be at school. No, we must stop. Like the cookie monster, right? He's always distracted by the cookies. Gotta get the cookie. No. First thing, what is your ultimate end? Not the cookie, not the ice cream, not the play, but maybe it's your math work. Maybe it's that work that's sitting on your desk in the natural order in this world. In the supernatural order, how do we get to heaven? Well, we have the entire sacramental system. Make sure you're getting to Mass. Make sure you're taking advantage of the Mass by attending properly. That is, getting to confession, confessing your sins, receiving Holy Communion. That's prudence. That's leading with your head. St. Paul says, when he was at Athens, I see you have an altar to the unknown God. This altar belongs to the true God, who is above all the gods. You see, he wasn't very ecumenical. He didn't say, well, he's just one among equals. No, he is the God of all the gods. And he also said, gods of the pagans are demons. They're all demons, but this is the true God. He was using prudence in order to draw them by their own knowledge towards the true God. He was using prudence. He was applying that they would know their ultimate end. They want the true God. They want the God above all gods. And that's what he was drawing them towards. St. Thomas says that prudence is the eye of the soul. Now, what are your eye or your body like? The eye of your body allows light to come in, and it comes into your brain, and you can know where you are. The eye of the soul is prudence because it allows you to know where you're going, how you're going to go there. You're able to see your ultimate end. just like with the eye, you can see you're in, I need to go over here. And you're able to move forward as a result of this. The eye is the light, the prudence is the light that leads us to heaven. Without light for the eye, we cannot find our way. Without prudence, we cannot find our way to heaven. Without light for the eye, the limbs don't know what to do. Without prudence, you can perform no virtue aright. You can do no action aright. Prudence is like a rudder which leads us in the way that we must turn, this or that way, in order to work out our salvation. The world is very foolish because it addresses the flesh. This is fun. This is fun. I enjoy this. I want that. Very often children are that way. All they want is their fun, right? But we're not children anymore. We're adults. We must know our ultimate end. The flesh always seeks a temporal advantage, usually attached to some sensual enjoyment. That's the world. And this worldly wisdom, according to God, is very, very foolish. Let us be wise. Let us seek our ultimate end of holiness. Let us use all the gifts that we have. A simple example of that is making the sign of the cross. Think how prudent that is to make the sign of the cross. You know how to make the sign of the cross? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how we make the sign of the cross. And that is so important because we proclaim two things. I had a man I met last night in a late run to the grocery store. He said, "Father, are you a priest?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Father, I have cancer. Would you pray with me?" I said, "Yes, I'll do that." So he gave me his hands like that. And I said, "Put your hands together like this." And we made the sign of the cross. I said, "If you want to be prudent, you must use the gifts that God has given to you. You have a Father who is in heaven. You have his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you must give your heart to. And in giving your heart to him, you will imitate him. Take up your cross and come follow after him, no matter what comes before you. But you cannot do that without the aid of the Holy Ghost, because you can do nothing without grace. So the entire symbol of your salvation is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's your strength. That's prudence. Furthermore, it's a sign of our redemption and our hope. Because in the sign of the cross, we see the resurrection itself." How do I say that? You ever heard of the Shroud of Turin? In the Shroud of Turin, there is a professor at Colorado Springs, the Air Force Academy. He started back in about 1962 researching. That's like 45 years ago now. And through the years, he's found the history of it, learned that it dates all the way back to, well, at least 1200. He's dated it to then, but we're pretty sure of it all the way back to the year 600. That's a long time ago, very, very long time ago. And he used modern technology that we have now, technology that the US military uses to go around the globe and map the globe and find all the terrain. And they can use this technology and measure the thickness of a dime that's sitting on the ground in the parking lot outside. They can do that from space. That's right. They can measure how thick it is from space using this technology. And so he used this technology to go over the Shroud of Turin, and he measured it. Now, this technology, the way measure, the way it's used, as it goes over the ground, it sends a light bar. You've seen a copy machine, haven't you? There's a single bar of light that goes across, and it goes in one direction, and it goes into another direction. Well, copy machine only goes in one direction. But it measures light on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. That's what it does. But it only measures it in one direction. You see, when I look at you, I'm getting light straight from you into the lens of my eye, and I'm getting light from this direction over this way. Very different. In Christ, when they measured, so that is very different. A picture, the image of the Shroud of Turin is not a picture, because they were able to get data off of the Shroud of Turin. And the data that they got from this on-off, when they scanned it, told them that it has a typography, just the way the Earth has a typography. And the only way you can do that is if the light that was in it or on it was being projected straight off of the cloth this way, and not this way, that way, this way, this way, the way a normal picture is. The light's bouncing off in every direction. The image that is on the Shroud of Turin was projected out in a linear form. That's what it tells us. It came out straight this way, straight that way. That's what that image tells us. Because that's the way they measure it from space down. Light comes straight down and goes back up. And so when they ran this scanner over the Shroud of Turin, this way and this way, the image of Christ popped up off of it like a topographical map. They can know how thick his arms were, how deep his eye sockets were, how big his nose was, what the cuts on his face, how deep they were. They know all of that off of the Shroud of Turin. You can't find that on any other picture in the whole wide world. How did that happen 500 years ago, 1,200 years ago, 2,000 years ago? Scientists can't answer that. But what it tells us is that Christ rose in light, he who is light of light, God of God. He rose in light, the sign of the cross. On every point of his body was the sign of the cross. All of them were data points. Isn't that wonderful? That's the story of the resurrection. And so we see the sign of our hope is for this technological period is given to us that we would believe in him, know him, that our faith would lead us to our own salvation. If we would believe in him, and if we'd ask for that grace to live in us. Now the question is, will we be prudent and follow the data? Well, I'm a scientist, and since my God is so very technologically advanced, I'm going to believe him. He's way beyond anything that any of the atheists can throw at him. He's way beyond anything that any of the haters can throw at him. Because my God is a God of love. And in his prudence, his desire that we should be saved, that he had given us this knowledge for this time and our generation. Let us therefore demonstrate our own capacity of our intellect to apprehend what is good, that we might attain our eternal salvation. And one of those means is the sign of the cross. Just as all the other sacraments are. Let us not be foolish in our generation and merely live for our appetites. But let us be supernaturally wise. Let us not be debtors to the flesh alone, as the epistle says, living according to the flesh. For if we do, we shall die. But by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. We will then be sons of God. May that grace be with us, especially in reception of this most holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.